pressure to sing that song, that little chorus, because today's sermon I'd like to present to you for a few minutes is about fixing your eyes on your problems. No, that's not what it says. That's kind of like what we want to put in there. If you have your Bibles, go to Hebrews 12. It's way back in the Bible. If you've gone to Revelation, you've gone too far. It's in the New Testament. If you're a new Christian, go to your table of contents and just look up the word Hebrews, and it'll tell you where to go. But it's Hebrews 12. It's been really on my heart a lot, this scripture. And somebody said, well, what do you like to preach on? And I said, well, whatever the Lord is preaching to me through His Word, so usually I preach what's important to my heart. So turn to your neighbor and say, I love the Bible. Did you know the Bible is God's love letter to you? It's basically written to Christians. Certainly it's got evangelistic verses and passages of Scripture. Certainly Jesus was the greatest evangelist of all time. The apostles preached Jesus and Him crucified. Even through the Old Testament, Jesus hadn't come on the scene yet. Somebody asked me, how did they preach about Jesus? Well, Jesus was foretold all through the Old Testament. All the prophets talked about the coming Messiah. They didn't have the information you and I have. We have the information that Jesus now is completely revealed in the New Testament. But this is going to encourage you if you have struggled as a Christian. Turn to your neighbor and say, have you struggled as a Christian? See, I don't get the notion of where people on TV, these preachers say, if you know Jesus, all your problems are going to be solved. I don't see that in Scripture. I haven't found it. I looked for it. It's not there. So don't come to Jesus to cure all your problems. Because He died on the cross for a much more significant reason than to make you convenient. He suffered a humiliating death on the cross. He was scourged and He was beaten unrecognizably for your sin and mine. The sin that I commit every day in my word, thought, and deed. Now, hopefully, as a Christian, I sin less. Turn to your neighbor and say, sin less. And turn to your other neighbor and say, it's not about being sinless. That's pretty good play on words, isn't it? There was only one without sin that lived in the flesh, and His name, of course, is Jesus Christ. And through Christ and faith in Him, He lived the life that you and I could not ever live. And so if you put your faith, hope, and trust in Him as your Savior and Lord through repentance, say repentance, and faith, those are the two ingredients that you need to be saved eternally. If you've never done that, when is the day to be saved? Tomorrow? Why isn't it tomorrow? I'll think about it. I'll get around to it. Do you know about those people? I'll get around to it. Around to it. It may be too late. You know, do you watch the news and how young people die early? See, it's appointed once a man to die and then the judgment. Doesn't tell you when. You can live to be 85 years old or live to be 5 years old. The Bible says it's appointed once a man or woman to die and then the judgment. Death is a fact. Birth is a fact. How many of you listening to the message have been born? Say amen. How many? I hope so. How many of you listening to the message have not been born? Okay. Now, you've been born once of your mom's womb, right? You get it? You know, through the birth canal, you get it? But you have to be born again. Now, I've been born of the water, but I need to be born of the Spirit from above. That takes a divine prayer. Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I put my faith in the sinless one, your Son, that lived a sinless life and died on the cross. And God made Jesus without sin to become sin for you. Now imagine that. To give me a better way of life? No. You know, in fact, I've had more problems as a Christian than I had as a non-Christian. You know why? Because I'm accountable now to the Word. Uh-oh, I'm accountable. Nobody really likes to be accountable, do they? Really? I mean, is that fun? Remember when you had to do chores? Rob, where are love you. I want to play some more. I played till it got darker and dark. I had to come home when it was dark. I didn't want to come home when it was dark. Sure wanted to play. And then when I was in the pool in the summertime, my mom would call me, ring. I heard that bell ring. Ring, ring. How many of you had a bell would ring? It's time for dinner. Y'all remember that? No. Nobody remembers that? But I remember hearing that bell. My mom can ring the bell. Time to eat. If you don't come in 15 minutes, you're going to not eat. So, you know, it's like, eh. And I remember swimming in the water. I stay all day. As children, how can children stay in the water all day? They can't. I love the water. And I'd be all pruned up and everything, but still I'd swim until I had to go. Somebody had to drag me out. So we don't want to be accountable, but as a Christian now you become accountable to the Word. You read the Word and you try to do what it says do. When you are running the world, remember that before you became a Christian? Were you a player? How many of you were a player? That's pretty good. I was a pretty good player. But you know what? When we get saved, God transforms our heart, doesn't He? He changes our heart, doesn't He? And you know, it happens a little bit at a time. So I wanted to bring you some encouragement. Turn to your neighbor and say, I could use a little encouragement. And turn to your neighbor and say, do you need encouragement? So Hebrews 12, watch this, y'all. I'm only going to do like four verses, and I'm just going to try to explain it the best I can. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon this word. We ask your blessing upon the preaching of this word. May I preach it with compassion, gentleness, respect, with boldness and confidence in the Holy Spirit, not my own ability, in Jesus' name. So Hebrews chapter 12, listen carefully. I can read it to you if you don't want to go there. You can read it later. Therefore, since we have such a great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Say great. Who are these clouds of witnesses around us? Well, you know what? The prophets of old, remember? Jeremiah, Sarah, you got Nehemiah, you've got Moses, you've got David. All those prophets, guess where they are? In heaven! Say it. In heaven! Turn to your neighbor and say, are you going to heaven when you die? I asked the guy one day, we're talking to him for a second. I had a couple minutes. I said, well, if you died today, where would you go? He goes, oh man, I'd go to heaven. I said, why? He said, my daddy was a preacher. What? Say, wrong answer. You gotta be saved to get to heaven. Just cause your daddy's a preacher, just because you went to church every Sunday, just cause you were baptized, doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you sit in a garage and go, I'm a car. Doesn't make you a car. Of course, if I was a car, I'd be a Lamborghini, you know what I'm saying? But you have a great crowd of witnesses in heaven. Now what they are there for is to encourage you to run the race that God has put before you. Now, is your race different than mine? Yeah. Your race is different than your neighbor's. My race is different than yours, but we've got a race to run. And it's not a sprint race. I used to be pretty good at running quick distances. But I always admired these runners in the Olympics that ran the marathon. And you know what? They run the marathon. It's 2.5 hours, two hours and 10 minutes. They run 26 miles in 2 hours and 10 minutes. That's basically 6 minutes a mile. Goodness gracious. And some of them even fall down. But you know what they do? They do. I just watched a videotape on Facebook. Somebody sent me because they thought I would like it, and I did. It was a guy that was running the 5,000 meters in the Olympics, and he was one of the studs. You know, he was one of the favorites. And he got off to a bad start. He got way behind. And you as Christians, sometimes we can get way behind. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've gone astray a few times. But he started off the race, and somehow he had a bad start to the race. And under the captions, of course, they threw these captions in later, he was way behind. I mean, he wasn't even with the pack, and they were running. They're clipping it off pretty good. They're running, and he was one of the favorites. But it runs this text underneath, and he says, I got off to a real bad start. I don't know why I did. I don't know how I'm going to catch up with the pack. I just don't feel like I have it today. And he was way back. I mean, he was way back. The pack was running, and he was way back here. And he was one of the favorites. And I said, this guy, he's speaking, later on they insert these captions, and he's saying, I've trained all my life, but I didn't train to be back here. But he was back there. So if you're a Christian and you've fallen behind in the race that God has put before you, be encouraged. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't lose heart. And turn to your other neighbor and say, be encouraged. So I'm going like, man, I'm watching this. I'm going like, okay, this guy's, I don't know what's going to happen. I didn't know what's going to happen. So I had a couple minutes. It was about 5 minutes long. I watched it. And after one lap, he got a little bit closer. And then after the other lap, there's four laps, he got a little bit closer. And then the third lap, he got really, really close. And in the middle of the last lap, he got in the middle of the pack, and he was so far behind. And I said, he's gotten stuck in between, you know, the people on the outside and the inside. It's, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. And I didn't even know who it was until after. And as they came around the final clubhouse turn, something happened to him. He put it in overdrive. And he ran like it was his last race. And he ran, and he was the one at the very, very back. And he kept running. And I started looking at the video, and I said, no way. Is it going to happen? And he ran, and at the end, he ran like he was a sprinter, not a long-distance race. And right at the end, this guy, I thought, there were two guys that were going to win, and for some reason, they thought they were going to cross the finish line. And guess who came up just right behind them just in a split second? The guy that was at the rear of the race. Glory to God. Y'all, if y'all running the race that God has put before you, you're a Christian, born again, child of the living God, you have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding you, because you can know that there are people in heaven that have been through a lot. They've been through a lot. Some of the Old Testament prophets were sawed in half. Can you imagine? Has anybody in here been sawed in half alive? I don't think so. So they've been beaten and scourged, and their limbs were torn apart by horses, and they suffered a lot. Now, you may not have to suffer like that, but you're going through your own suffering. We all do, don't we? I mean, we live in a sin-fallen world, right? Oh, everything is hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's easy to sing that on the mountaintop, isn't it? Can you sing that in the valleys? Because God never changes. Everything around you is going to change. I promise you that. The Bible says everything's going to change. But God never changes. Aren't you glad you worship a God and you put your faith in a Savior that will never, ever change? And when you go off the track and you want to go over here like a dumb sheep, be your sheep impersonation. That was a goat, I think. All right, we all like dumb sheep and have gone astray, the Bible says. Let's do one time. One, two, three, do your sheep. Bah! What do sheep like to eat? Baklava. I I couldn't resist that one. But you have a great cloud of witnesses, and they're there and there, so they're there to inspire you. If they made it through their trials and tribulations, certainly through your trials and tribulations, you can too. And then it goes on, it says, let this great cloud of witnesses that are in heaven, let us, say let us, also lay aside. Lay aside. Okay, so you have your Bible in your hand. If you have your Bible in your hand, lay it aside. There you go. So we know what laying aside, see? That's what laying, okay. So it says, lay aside. Every, not just some. Encumbrance, everything that hinders you from running the race. Now here's a fact. If laying aside, if you're going to run a race and train for a race and you want to win the race like that guy, he fell way behind. But he trained and trained and trained and he did the best he can. He ended up winning from behind. But if you have something in your life that's going to encumbrance you or hinder you, it says lay it aside. I don't know what that is, though. Just think of it for a minute. You have something that you need to lay aside. It may not even be a sin. But you know what? Somebody said to me, he said, you know, runners line up on a starting line. And in their mind, they desire to win the race. Not all of them can win. Only one can win, remember? The guy from the back. But they all try to win, and they do the best they can. And this guy, he was going like, man, there's no way, but there was a way, and he ended up winning because he never gave up. And then they interviewed one guy that was a favorite to win the race. And they go, you didn't even qualify for you didn't even get to the race. You didn't even qualify. What happened to you? He said, I didn't train properly. I didn't train properly. I gained about 10, 15 pounds at the wrong time, and I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Now, isn't that true about us as Christians? When we fall short, and we're going to, that we just don't do what we should do and we know to do because either we're not praying like we should, not reading the Bible like we should, or we're not surrounding ourselves with people that love God and can help us know Him better. Is that true? You better stay tight. And it says, let us also lay aside every, not just some, every hindrance or encumbrance and the sin. This, I'm reading it from just the first verse. Say the sin. Now the writer of this passage probably had a sin in mind. The sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, the sin. Now we don't know what it is. I think that's a good thing. Because if he pointed out what the sin was, it'd be like, hey, I ain't got that problem. You know, I ain't got that sin problem. I got this other sin problem. But it's the sin that's going to hinder you from finishing the race and desiring to please God and to train properly to get there where you're going. And that's heaven. But God just didn't want to save you from hell. He wants you to prosper here while you're on earth. Did you know that? I mean, some people are going to barely get into heaven. Have you heard that? You remember that scripture? That they barely get there. They fan the flames. Whoa! They barely get to heaven. They get there, but they got the flames really, really close. God didn't want you just to barely make it. He wants you to win the race. So turn to your neighbor and say, God is for you. Woo! Well. And so I want you to lay aside, the Bible says, every hindrance. Okay, that's besides sin. That could just be some bad habit you got. And the sin that what? So easily. Wait a minute. Easily entangles you? What is that? Easily entangles you. You know what sin will do? You know that knock? That old friend? That old friend that ain't gotten saved yet, looking at you saying, you call yourself a Christian, remember that stuff you did before you became a Christian? That's the devil. When the devil brings up your past that God has forgiven you of, rebuke it. If God has forgiven you of your past through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you've repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, don't let the enemy bring back the past when God has forgiven you of the past. People trying to bring up my past all the time. Maybe trying to make me feel bad. Hey, don't try to clear your conscience by taking away my freedom. I'm free in Christ. You go read the Bible here. But don't try to make me feel bad about something that God has forgiven me. So I want somebody needs some freedom today. Father, I believe that somebody here needs freedom today. That somebody has brought up their past. Maybe it's their family. Maybe they've become the black sheep of the family. Lord, I want you to give them peace and freedom that if they know their Savior is Christ and they have sincerely repented and put their faith in Christ, Father, I want you to free them up today. In Jesus' name. So, take away the sin that so easily entangles you. So, here's the thing about sin. As you run the race, if the sin is entangling you, if a runner had a rope tied just loosely around their feet and they started running, they would probably get tighter and then they would fall over. So it's time for us as Christians, if we're in that moment of sin and we have that sin, we just don't want to give up. You got to go give it up. Oh, I'm going to give up all my other stuff, all that other stuff I gave up, Lord. I'm going to give that up, but I'm going to keep on. I'm going to keep this one. I like this one too much. Y'all know I'm right, too. Y'all love or hate honest preachers?
Love.
Say love.
Love.
Say love.
Love.
So take aside and lay aside every hindrance or encumbrance in the sin that so easily entangles you. Why? Why does God want us to unleash those things around us that hinder us from running the race? This guy that I was talking about when he came from way, way back, I mean, he just fell, he just fell across the finish line, and these guys up front thought, wow, they're gonna win. All of a sudden, this guy that was last, just, I could imagine, whoa! He got it untangled. Mm-hmm. He was tangled up at first, wasn't he? And you may be a Christian and be tangled up. Say up. Time to get untangled. We're going to give you opportunity today. I'm going to challenge you. I'm not just going to preach to you. I mean, I'm a good preacher. I can preach, you know, a good sermon. But we're going to give you an opportunity after the service to release the sin that's entangling you today. And we're going to have our partners pray with you confidentially if that's what you want to do. So we're going to release that sin that easily entangles us. Why? And let us run with endurance. The guy that was running the race, he had to use endurance. He saw the path way before in his mind. He had all these doubts. How in the world did I get way back here when I trained to be way up there? Isn't that just like us living on the world here? We were a Christian and we all just, hallelujah, hallelujah. All of a sudden, bam, the storm comes up just like that. Storm comes up quickly, doesn't it? So he came back, evidently, he untangled what was hindering him from being with the pack, and he ended up winning the race. And we're going to use this as a spiritual analogy. Don't you like that? Because it talks about the Apostle Paul has seen some races in the Olympics, or they didn't call them the Olympics then, but he has seen these runners do this. And have you ever seen a prize fight in boxing match? I used to watch boxing all the time. And I've seen these boxers, I mean, I've seen them get knocked down, bloody, cut up, back down again, count to eight again, down and out and out and out, and end up winning the boxing match. Because they got up and they persevered. If you're going to run the race and you're going to get to heaven and you're going to have a life that's pure and prosperous here, you're going to have to endure. Turn to your neighbor and say, endurance is the key. So don't give up. Don't give out. And don't give in. The guy that ran that race, he ran with endurance. It was only 5,000 meters, but he did not give up. And he thought in his mind he was not going to even be close to winning the race. And you're going to run into that situation. Promise. Not my promise. I read the scriptures very plain. That's what's going to happen to us. We're going to go through a lot of troubles and trials and tribulations. And I want you to be encouraged by these words. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That race. The race is one to finish. So turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to run that race. And turn to your other neighbor and say, I am not going to give up. And this is how we do it. This is how we do it. Verse 2. I just got one verse out of the way. I want y'all to say, and that's why I asked Miranda to sing, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Okay, here we go. Here's the problem. Here's the problem as a Christian. You're right. A runner, I watch them. They run and they're looking straight ahead. If they start looking at their feet, they're going to fumble and they're going to slow down. If they start looking at the stands for their friends and cheering for them, they ain't going to run as fast. So they're fixing their eyes on the prize. They're fixing their eyes on the finish line where they belong. That's where their eyes need to be fixed on, not looking for their family members. I don't think they'd go that fast. But it's easy to take your eyes off the prize. So it says here in verse 2, fix your eyes on Jesus. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to fix your eyes on the person next to you. Pupil to pupil for 5 seconds. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Just fix it. Fix them. Fix it. Fix it. 1. Okay. Okay, y'all get it. That. Was there any doubt in your mind where you were looking? No. Y'all get the analogy. There's no question where my eyes were fixed. They were fixed in her pupils and mine. That's what we need to do with Jesus. And you know what? Everything in life around you is going to do the opposite to get you from doing that. Oh, my problems. You don't know my problems. Well, yeah, we all got problems. We all got storms. We all got family issues. Say, my family's getting on my nerves. You got financial problems, health problems. Remember back in the day when it was all that? You had all the bling bling and ching ching. Y'all don't remember those days? Oh, I remember the days. In the old days. I had a lot of zeros in my checking account. I like zeros, especially when there's, you know, a number before. And then zeros. But as you grow older and you get closer to Jesus, sometimes he likes to start erasing some of those zeros. Ooh, where go my zeros? What happened to them all? Remember you had all that stuff? Boy, and you had all those friends too, didn't you? Oh, yeah. As long as you had those zeros, Oh, you gonna rent the limo this weekend? Oh yeah. I am the center of the pot here. I'm gonna be hanging out the sunroof too. Y'all remember that? How many of you hung out a sunroof of the limo? Oh yeah. Boop. And then they all go away. And then you end up with, where's my zeros going? And then instead of one and all these zeros, you just got one. But Jesus said, you know, it's better that you're poor and get to heaven than be rich and not get there. You know, you don't want to be rich. You don't want to. Have you seen The Curse of the Lotto? They win $200 million, they end up just falling apart. Their life becomes just a nuclear bomb. So he says it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. So keep that in mind, too. I mean, you know what? There's nothing wrong with having stuff. But having stuff will make you take your eyes off the one that saved you and gave you eternal life. And he says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. He started it. He was the author. He started it. He drew you to him, and he will finish it to perfection. Let him finish it. If he saved you for real, he'll keep you saved, and he'll get you to the kingdom of God. And when you see him, you'll hear the words that you want to hear. Come on in, my well done and good and faithful servant. Come on in. I got a place for you that I built myself. And hopefully, you know, I'll get there. If you get there first, wait on me, because I'll come over to your heavenly mansion. We'll have a heavenly barbecue. Hang out. I don't know. So he is the author and the perfecter of your faith. He hasn't finished with you yet. He's perfecting you. Give him chance. Read the word. Give him an opportunity. Say opportunity. I mean, a baby, I see them all the time. Babies reach for everything, don't they? They'll reach for everything. Whatever you put before them. They don't care what it is. This. It could be a stick of dynamite or a milk bottle. So you might be a new Christian, but keep the faith. Christ is the author. He started it. He's going to finish it. And during that time, he is going to perfect it. Let him. Allow him through his word and through prayer to perfect you on where he wants you to be and to run the race that he wants you to run. Say, run, Forrest, run! Life is like a box of chocolates. But see, with Jesus, you know what you're going to get. Because he never changed, and he existed before eternity passed. He never was created. He always was. He is the great I am. He wants the best for his children, too. Do you know that? If a child said, Daddy, I'm hungry, would that daddy give that child a stone? Neither is Jesus with you if you're a Christian. He loves you so much. And he wants you to run this race. And this is the mind blow here. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy of what he experienced, Jesus had joy by what he experienced. Do you know what he went through to experience what he did to give you eternal life? It gave him joy knowing that his debt that he paid to God is sufficient to save you from every sin you've ever committed. Glory to God. And for the joy set before him, he despised the shame that you and I do not have to despise. He despised the shame. The sinless one. The one that was without sin, that was made to be sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm still listening. You turn to the other neighbor and say, he's almost done. But I want to encourage you now, if you want encouragement. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame that was brought. They wagged their heads and they insulted him. He was hung naked for everyone to see. He was hung on a cross. He was beat unrecognizably. The Isaiah says he was beat so bad nobody recognized him as Jesus. And he was without sin. Can you imagine? Can you imagine me walking here in here one day and beating so bad that you didn't even know it was me? That's pretty bad. But he knew why he was going to the cross, to save you from your sins and to purchase a place for you in heaven and to pay that sin debt in full that you could never pay because you've sinned 1,000 times. How many of you have lied at least 500 times in your life? 500 times. Got a 500 time lie right here. How about a 700 time lie? 700 time lie right here. Right? 800 lie. 800 lie going once. 800 lie. Got a 8. Oh, well, you're a big liar too. 800 lie over here. I got anybody sent over 1,000? Oh, she raised both hands. Oh, my word. She wins the prize for the most honest liar in this place. Give her some encouragement. For you to get to heaven, you're going to have to admit that you are a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. And if you've lied once, you're a liar. If you've stolen once, you're a thief. All thieves and liars will perish on the day of judgment. You need Jesus, not for a bigger house. Somebody said, well, I got saved, but I ain't got no house. Yeah, my car is broken down. I said, well, you should start by cleaning up the house you got. I don't know. I'm just saying. Despising the same, and he has finished, because it says here in verse 2, he has sat down. When you sit down, you go. When you sit down, you're finished. He has finished. The joy that's set before him. He has finished paying the sin debt. You know, he paid it in full because how many of you had credit cards before? Ooh, can be dangerous. They can be, sneaky dangerous. And so what happens? You say, oh, I got $2,500 limit. I'm all that. Boy, you start spending it. All of a sudden you go, whoops. You get your first bill and you get your second bill. Whoops. And it's all gone. But see, that interest rate is 25%, and if you just paid the minimum on that debt, you would never pay it off. They don't want you to. Because it keeps accumulating. They want you to pay the minimum. They don't want you to pay it off. The banks don't need, they need your long-term cash. They don't want you to pay it off. But Jesus paid your sin debt right there. So before you were a Christian, you were standing before the judge. How many of you stood before a judge before? Ooh, y'all a bunch of honest people too. I can't believe you raised your hand. And so you stand before the judge and he's saying, you know what? He asks you the questions. Are you innocent or guilty? You make your plea and you say, I'm guilty of whatever I'm standing here for. And he's fixing that plow down the gavel of guilt and to sentence you. Because he's a judge. Now, he can show mercy on you. Some judges have more mercy than others. He's fixing to sentence you to wherever you got to go. And before he does that, while he's doing that, he's fixing to gavel down on your sentence. You're guilty. And guess who comes in the back of the room of the courthouse? It's Jesus. And he says, stop, judge. I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price. And the judge says, somebody's got to pay your debt. I'll let you pay this person's sin debt. Come on up. Jesus paid your price in full. Give him glory. And as we close, for consider him who has endured such hostility. Do you know what hostility? How many of you have dealt with hostility? I mean, to me, words are even worse. You know, the Bible says your tongue is sharp and it's small, but it does a lot of damage, doesn't it? In a rudder of a ship, Titanic is a huge ship, and it had a little bitty rudder, but that rudder, how small it was compared to the ship, it could control the direction of that big old huge ship. You said things to people that hurt them bad, haven't you? And I have too. We're both guilty on both ways, aren't we? That's why we need forgiveness today. We've been hurt and we've hurt. For consider Jesus, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. So now I'm going to close with some really good encouragement. I'm fixing to scream a little bit. For consider Jesus, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Repeat this. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Whoa! Thank you, Jesus, for giving me some encouragement. He said, he did all these things, and it has nothing to do with your current problem. Because your current problems have nothing to do with your relationship with Jesus. Even though you have a lot. We've made some wrong decisions, haven't we? We've made some wrong turns in life, haven't we? But doesn't the Bible say that Jesus will go and leave the 99 that don't need him to go find that one sheep that has gone astray? You may be that sheep. And again, you may want to confess and pray with some of our ministry partners. You may just want to pray. It's private. You may want to just have a prayer. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you need one of our ministry partners. We've got some here. Got two or three or four. But I want you to know that he did all this so that you will not grow weary. You know, the Bible says don't grow weary in what? Doing what? Good. Don't sometimes you get weary in doing good? Because you know why? You do good. And you're doing good, but you know what? All your friends that are doing bad, guess what happened? They're getting all blessed and getting the big cars and having all the big stuff. And you're doing good. And he says, don't get weary in doing good. And don't look outside and say, wow, all these people are getting blessed and I'm doing good and I ain't getting blessed yet. But you know what? Your blessings are eternal. Theirs is temporary. I'm going to walk on streets of gold. Scuff them up, too. They won't gold won't matter. So I want you to understand that the Lord loves you. And he'll discipline you. Haven't you been disciplined by God? I know it's sometimes hard, but God wants you to run that race and take away that sin. You may have that sin today that you want to just help us, you want to confess it so you can cut it off. You're ready to get back up and run that race, but you're not, because every time you get up, that sin just tangles you back up and you fall back down again and you are tired of it. So we're going to give you opportunity as we come to the front to pray if you want to. And I'm going to pray and close this out with just a prayer of faith. And I want you to just seek your own heart. Father, we thank you for the word that was preached. I didn't only preach three verses or four, but they're so powerful compared to the race that we need to run. Help us run the race and help us confess that sin that just seems to be entangling us to keep us from running that race. You want us to finish the race, and you want us to run the race as if to win. And there's people that are listening to my voice right now that say, yeah, I got the sin, and I've got some hindrances in my life that I don't want to have anymore. And I want to be set free. And Jesus died to set me free from those entanglements and those sins. And I pray that the word was convicting, encouraging, and not just my own personality or energy with it, because I'm excited about it, but I pray that the word and how I explained it, and I pray I did it with compassion and gentleness and respect and with boldness and of confidence in the Holy Spirit. So Father, be with us. Guide us, direct us, most importantly, conform us into the image of your Son. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen.